Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Tuesday, January 11th. We are officially in day one of the offseason of college football after a thrilling second half in the national championship game. You can't call it a thrilling game because the first half was just a defensive battle, five field goals kicked. And at halftime, I know a lot of people went to bed, especially Buckeyes. They were like, this game's awful. I'm going to bed. I'm glad I didn't. Because you saw some fireworks in the second half.
Yeah.
So shout out to Kirby Smart. Got the monkey off his back. Beat Nick Saban for their first national championship in 41 years. Herschel Walker was a freshman the last time that Georgia won a national championship. Just a great game. And, yeah, whatever. I'll do it. I'll toot my own horn. As I predicted, Georgia is the national champs of college football. And they did exactly what I thought they needed to do. They needed to obviously, before we go any further, shout out and prayers to J-Mo. Jameson Williams got hurt in the game, was walking around fine, but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, you can walk on a torn ACL if that's what he had. Let's knock on wood and hope it's something less serious than that. But either way, that kid has a bright future in front of him. So I don't want to take, you know, be all gloom and misery. But just unfortunate for him. Unfortunate for Alabama. They lost their best offensive player midway through that second quarter. And especially after he just had a huge play, a 40-yard catch. Yeah,
huge play.
And just tried to cut, and you saw the inside of his knee buckle inside. Mm-hmm. And you could tell right away that he probably wasn't going to play again. But so that's what Georgia had to do. They had to make sure Jameson Williams didn't beat him. Obviously, they didn't do that. Him getting hurt did that. And then they had to make sure Alabama couldn't run the ball, which we knew they weren't going to be able to. Mm-hmm. And then they had to, you know, make Bryce Young make big boy throws. And they did all those things, right? And then Stetson Bennett, the biggest thing was they had to sack Bryce Young. They had zero sacks in the SEC championship game. They did that. They got him down three times, and they pressured him more than that. Right. And then Stetson Bennett could not throw it to the other team. Now, the sumbitch tried to just drop it to the other team a couple times, but he didn't throw it to him once. Zero interceptions. Tua. Look at me. Bryce Young was the one that was a little turnover happy, but it was a great game. Obviously, that last pick six on the underthrown deep ball from Bryce kind of makes the score look a little more ridiculous than it was. It was a 19-18 game with 8 minutes left to play. Georgia iced it to go up by 8, 26-18. So it's still a one-possession game. That pick six makes it look like a two-possession win. But as goes with football, that happens. And when people look back on this game in 3 years, they'll be like, Georgia handled Alabama. It's like, shut up. No, they did not. But we have a national champion of college football, Chris. The Georgia Bulldogs, Kirby Smart, they get it done.
That pick six at the end, man, it looked like Kirby Smart was signaling to Kelee Ringo to get down. It reminded me when Tyvis Powell caught that interception and opted to bring it out.
This is exactly what he's trying to do. How about this for you? Quarterbacks to beat Alabama and Nick Saban in the college football playoff: Cardale Jones, Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, and Stetson motherfucking Bennett. How about that? In rare air, in an elite class of quarterbacks, Stetson Bennett.
After that first half, I thought we were going to see kind of a flip of what we saw years ago. When obviously Tua came in for Jalen Hurts, after that first half of offense from Georgia, I thought there was a chance we could see, you know, Kirby Smart, right his wrongs or go for it and make the switch at quarterback. But, Stetson Bennett played really well. Like I was really impressed with him late in that game. Even though he did try to hand the ball over to a couple times, but he didn't make any mistakes, and there was no Trace McSorley arm punts. And instead, like you said, we saw that from Bryce Young. So it is interesting. I did want to ask you about George Pickens, man. We haven't really talked about him too much this year, but he's had a good little postseason. And among the wide receiver world, he was in that same class with Garrett Wilson. I haven't read up enough on him. But did you have any initial thoughts on watching Pickens since you've kind of broken down some tape?
I mean, yeah, he had the one big catch, right? I mean, mm-hmm. he has underperformed in his career. I know he was highly touted recruit, and people told me, like, I've been on this kick for really 2 years that Georgia is just even when they had Jake Fromm, I mean, he was supposed to be a decent quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. That they've always been they don't have the skill players. And I mean, he was the number four receiver in the country, right? A top 25 kid nationally, 5-star from Hoover, Alabama, which those kids rarely leave Alabama. So he picked Georgia over Alabama.
Yeah.
So you got to love this.
Yeah. He flipped from Auburn, actually. Yeah. He was
there, you Auburn. Go. Well, so he's supposed to be a great one, right? He was, That's what the recruiting rankings would tell you. And I haven't seen it. And you obviously see some unbelievable skill. So he's very, very talented.
He flashes like a freshman almost. Like, he'll have some, oh, okay, wow, like, that's really real. But then, I mean, he has been injured. The one big catch really raised opened my eyes a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't play until the last game of the year, last regular season game of the year against Georgia Tech, and he didn't play much in that game. So obviously, a lot of it has to do with health. I mean, he had one catch in every game essentially he's played in. He had two catches against Bama last time for 41 yards. But I think he's a really good player. I think he could be. Let's put it this way: I think he could be a really good player. He really hasn't done much. His freshman year was his best year. Obviously, got hurt in 2020, and 2020 was a weird year with COVID and everything. He missed a couple games, but 2019 he had a breakout year. Now he's healthy, so it'll be interesting to see what he does. You know, guys like that have a great game on that stage sometimes do irrational things. And him being 3 years removed from high school, God help him if he declares for the draft. I mean, I don't even know what to say about it. He needs to come back, have a great offseason, stay healthy, and have a dominant senior season to really, you know, set the stage for a big time future and become the player he was supposed to become, because he looked good on that play, and he looked good other times in the game. But, you know, Georgia needs that from Kyaris Jackson to George Pickens to all the guys that they have recruited that are big time guys, supposedly. They just haven't had a really great skill players. I mean, the kid Brock Bowers they have is a fucking monster.
Yeah, that's what I thought Jeremy Rucker was going to be, man.
Jeremy Rucker could have been that. And, you know, that's a lot of projection, but they just didn't throw the ball. But Brock Bowers had a touchdown once again. Didn't have the impact he had in the SEC championship game, but still, led the team in catches. So he's obviously their best player. I love Kenny McIntosh out of the backfield. He's that versatile Alvin Kamara-ish player. And then Jermaine Burton is a good player too.
I like Jermaine a lot. I thought he was going to be a lot better than he's kind of shown so far.
Yeah, and it's like I've talked about before. There is something to be said about receiver production as it correlates to quarterback skill. And I've talked about it in my career when we had JT Barrett as a quarterback, right? Or not Braxton, but when we had JT as a quarterback, he's just not an elite thrower, and that's going to stifle the receiver's production a little bit. And you can blame the receivers. You can blame the receiver coach. But I don't have a percentage, but I'll say 70% of statistical impact by the receivers is directly correlated to how well a quarterback throws the ball, right? How's their timing? How's their accuracy? How's their arm strength? Can they make all the throws, right?
Yeah.
And so that's I think what is part of Georgia's issue at the receiver position. They have some skill, but they just don't have the quarterback to let the skill be great players, be AJ Green, right?
Right.
But
and when you have guys with NFL traits, which is what you kind of want at quarterback positions at these big schools, I mean, naturally they're going to go throw for, if they have NFL traits, if they project at that level, they're going to throw for 3,500 yards. So those yards have to, someone's got to catch those balls. I mean, you do see that with Georgia a lot. I mean, I mean, Jake Fromm is the guy who, I mean, the Giants felt like, you know, it wasn't good enough to air that thing out. So they ran a QB sneak on 3rd and 9. So that tells you everything you need to know about him. But I we'll see. I don't know. I like the Burton kid a lot. I hope he has a bigger year next year, but who knows?
Yeah, there's no doubt. But you look at this game really came down to what we watched. There's two arguments to be had here, two discussions to be had. One is Bryce Young is exactly what I've said he was from day one. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much more evidence people need. He's a good player with a high ceiling that, probably will go down. Well, not if he improves, but he wasn't the Heisman Trophy winner. He wasn't the best player in college football, right? He benefited. He was dynamic. He made a lot of plays. But if you shut down Jameson Williams,
yeah,
either the Auburn game where he gets ejected, either this game where he gets hurt, or the Cincinnati game where they pretty much took him out of the game, Bryce Young is an above-average quarterback. I mean, he was 2 for 9 on deep balls, 22%. I think he was, almost 30% on throws over 10 yards. He lives in the sandbox. I've said it all year long. He throws the ball in the sandbox. You imagine a little kid standing in the yard with the sandbox at the end of the yard, throwing his toys into a sandbox. That's where Bryce Young throws the ball, under 10 yards, right in the middle of the field. I mean, he was I think, 23 of 27 in the sandbox in this game. And then you can do the math for where he was outside of that. It wasn't very good though. So Georgia did a great job. They got home, they hit him, they sacked him 3 times. They made him throw it outside the sandbox. They knew when he was going to throw it and be successful, it was going to be right in front of him. And so they really swarmed it and they took it away. And just shout out to Kirby Smart for adjusting his defensive game plan. And I still stand by the fact that I believe Georgia, it's not that they didn't want to win the SEC championship game, but they didn't pull out all their ammunition on Alabama.
They didn't push all the chips. They didn't put all the chips in the center of the table.
It wasn't do or die. Kirby Smart said it. Mm-hmm. He said it in his pregame speech. It was not burn the fucking boats. There's no way home. We have to go through Alabama to get out of this stadium. That wasn't the mentality in the SEC championship game. It was they're going to go try to go win a game. Obviously, they're going to play their ass off. They're going to try to beat Alabama. But it was not fucking light the boats on fire. Run and the two teams enter, one team leaves. This is do or die. Last game of the season, it was different. And it looked different. Everything about it looked different. Obviously, Stetson Bennett throwing 2 picks the first time around made it look a lot different. But it just shout out to Kirby Smart. Shout out to his coaches. They did an outstanding job, and now they get a big ass ring, big ass bonuses. Those kids are gonna, you know, go to the White House and meet Kamala. I wonder if Joe's awake. If Joe's not awake, then I guess they'll meet Kamala only. But just really awesome, for them.
It's interesting what you said about Bryce Young, and people are gonna like give you some hate for saying, you know, oh, the Heisman Trophy winner's not a great quarterback. Da 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 da. You know, good, not great. And I'll back that up by saying it's not just what we think about Bryce Young, but it's obviously what Kirby Smart and that defensive staff thinks about Bryce Young. I mean, they put together a game plan that the main focus probably was taking away Jameson Williams. And then it's like, okay, you're the Heisman Trophy winner. If you're going to beat us, go prove it. And he simply couldn't. I mean, Bryce Young is a good, not great player. And I'll argue that after we've seen him, without J-Mo and without Mechie, that really he kind of won the Heisman by default. I mean, it was the perfect voter default button.
He definitely won the Heisman by default. And you look at it, and the Heisman Trophy quarterback is mm-hmm. supposed to dominate on the biggest stage, like take over games like Joe Burrow did in 2019.
Take over games.
Cam Newton did. Vince Young did. Devontae Smith did against Ohio State. Like the Heisman Trophy winner, when you end the season on a national big-time stage, you're supposed to walk away going, wow, they had no answer for XYZ, mm-hmm. right? 2019 LSU. You walked away, and Joe Burrow has a cigar in his mouth with big dick energy, and you walked away going, you just can't beat that kid. Like you can't stop him. Last year, you walked away saying, good God, Devontae Smith, you just can't stop him, right? Cam Newton at Auburn, you walked away and said, there's no stopping that kid, right?
Even on a non-natty team, when you watch Lamar Jackson, it was like,
you cannot stop him.
It was like, hey.
Yo. Yeah, it's not even about winning a national championship, mm-hmm. right? It's unfortunate that this year went the way it went and that we gave a de facto default Heisman Trophy, because I believe Kenneth Walker was that guy. I mean, he went up against a playoff caliber defense and just absolutely torched him. And the only reason, the only downfall to Kenneth Walker, a reason why you would say he wasn't that guy, was against Ohio State. He didn't have much production because he got a concussion and was out of the game. Like, that's not fair, right? Especially against Ohio State's rush defense. I would imagine he would have had quite a little day on him if he was played a full game healthy. But that's, you know, we'll get to the Menace Awards probably on Thursday on mm-hmm. the main show. Chris, I might have you come on and we'll give out the Menace Awards, because the season is over. Now is the appropriate time to, identify and address and reward those that were the best in the country. It was not time a month ago. I mean, Bryce Young just played two more games after he won the Heisman. That's bullshit.
It's like in school. Like, what if you went through a semester and before you took your exam, you got your grades? And they said, the exams don't matter. The exams do not. No. We will grade you after the exams. Now all of the exams are in. We've got the full body of work. Now is the only appropriate time to give up the medicine.
Let's talk about it, right? Yeah. The other thing that is of note, I've seen a number of different places, was kind of CJ. Look at the difference between CJ Stroud without his two best receivers and Bryce Young without his two best receivers. And though that is true, right? That's more a testament to Brian Hartline and the receiver room. I mean, CJ Stroud was not without elite talent against Utah. I don't know if we watched that game, but he had two ridiculous receivers still playing. But also, you cannot compare Utah's defense to Georgia's defense. That is quite a different story. It's like, you know, playing the fucking Titans versus playing the Jaguars. It's like, you can't really compare the two, right?
I will say though, Zach, I will say, I do think at this point, as I sit here today, CJ Stroud is a better quarterback than Bryce Young.
CJ Stroud is a better pure quarterback, passer, right? Mm-hmm. He's a better drop back quarterback than Bryce Young. Bryce Young is a better playmaker, right? He's more dynamic. He extends plays. I mean, you watched the first time they beat Georgia and he was extremely, extremely impactful. Not just throwing the ball.
He's definitely a gamer, but there's some throws that in CJ Stroud's arsenal that I do not believe are in Bryce Young's arsenal. So I do think moving forward, like if I were to pick a Heisman if someone asked me to, actually, I'm not going to say that. If someone told me who the better quarterback is, if I'm projecting NFL-wise or next year's Heisman, I think I'm going CJ Stroud just about every way. I think he has more throws in his arsenal.
Let's put it this way. CJ Stroud is a better pure quarterback. Bryce Young right now is a better player. He's a better football player. Mm-hmm. So who do you want on your team? Now, I would take personally just because I'm a coach, right? Now, if I was a fan, I would pick Stetson Bennett. I would not pick Stetson Bennett. I would pick Bryce Young. I'm picking the guy that won the hardware. Fuck everybody else. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm picking Bryce Young because he is the better player right now. Now, I see and believe that CJ Stroud can exceed Bryce Young or pass Bryce Young with coaching, with development, bringing out the fire in him to run around and make plays. And I think the confidence he's going to get from this season and ending it the way he did in the Rose Bowl and finishing fourth in the Heisman, all of that, you know, wrapped up in a nice shiny box, I think provides the motivation for him to come into 2022 season with the utmost swagger and confidence that he is going to take shit over. And I think I know he needs to do that with his legs a little bit. He's a good athlete. We saw it, right? His first touchdown ever in 2020 was running the ball.
What was it, like a 42 yarder?
Yeah. And I mean, he just showed he can do it. And he even had a big time scramble against Utah that I almost lost my shit. Like I came in my pants a little bit. It was like, oh my God, he fucking ran it. Like it was amazing. So I think when you look at CJ, he just needs to take that next step. He's young. They're both young. Bryce Young can become a better passer. CJ Stroud can become a more, I guess, I don't know. He can become a more, have more swagger, have more presence on the field, have more energy, like show that you want to be great and show your team that you will put them on your back, because that's what Bryce Young did a couple times this year. But if we learned anything in this game, it's that Bryce Young still has a ways to go to become, you know, a top five draft pick or the actual deserved dominant player that wins the Heisman Trophy. He's got some work to do, as does CJ. And so that's where I'm at with the Heisman. But I wanted to mention also, and I don't want to take away from my, you know, post game analysis show that'll come out today at 5:00. But missed tackles tells the story again. Georgia had 7 missed tackles. Alabama double digits, 10 missed tackles. You can knock it all you want, but the team with the most missed tackles loses the game. Double digit missed tackles, you lose. Alabama had 10. Georgia had 7. Christian Harris, who I think is a great player, missed 4 alone, and then my guy, Chris, Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Yes, sir.
Kool-Aid, my dude, right? Not to be confused with Pop Rocks Smith, my fifth child that I'm going to have soon. He's going to be named Pop Rocks. Kool-Aid McKinstry. He gave up 83 yards receiving and kind of was getting torched there a little bit. It was a defensive battle. Georgia had the better defense. It was a great game. I mean, it was a great way to end the season. And I can't get over the fact we don't give out the college football awards postseason. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate.
It does feel a little bit silly. I mean, I don't know. Just like, I mean, I guess it's kind of like that. I don't know. I was going to try to defend it like it's like the NFL model, but the NFL is a full playoff. So, I mean, they do a regular season MVP. I don't know. It's just, I guess so. But Zach, I did want to mention something just because it was kind of going on Twitter yesterday. Do you remember early when we first started doing the Morning Menace show? I got into a little Twitter debate with college football nerds.
Yeah.
And they told me early in the year, half through the year, they said that C.J. Stroud doesn't have near the talent that Spencer Rattler has, right? And then that same day, Spencer Rattler got benched. And then they changed their statement to Caleb Williams is a much better quarterback than C.J. Stroud after watching one half of play, and then said he would likely be the starting quarterback at Ohio State if Caleb Williams would have went to Ohio State instead of Oklahoma. I told them that's a terrible take. And I told them also, they replied to me, their reply to me was, after the season, we'll see how terrible a take that is. Just wait and see, basically me. Well, guess what, Zach? Right. I waited, and I saw, and I'm here, and I know they saw the tweet, but I guess it's ducking season all off season.
It is ducking season, but we, the Menace Nation, will not allow it. Mm-hmm. So the call to action, we had a call to action last week, try to get to the top 100. You all did that. You got us in the top 75. By the way, we are already pacing at 140% this week of last week's downloads. So we're going to clear 115, 120,000 downloads this week. So shout out to you guys. Mm-hmm. But we are calling the Menace Army. It's a call to action. We need tweets at the college football nerds because you don't get to make statements like that. Not to us. And then at the end of the year, duck behind somebody, right? Slip out the back door. No. We got receipts, right? We want to hear from you. So we are calling college football nerds, calling them out. They need to come on the show. Let's talk about it. Because don't get me wrong, I think they do a good job. Their analytics are awesome. They're very, very smart guys, but they are still nerds, right? They are still data pushers, right? They push their glasses up on their nose and say, well, Caleb Williams, he has 9.7% success rate when it is raining slightly and it is 12 degrees outside. And it's like, okay, good. I watched the film. I coached football for 15 years. Caleb Williams is not fucking close to C.J. Stroud when it comes to playing quarterback. How about that for you? There's a hot take. Don't give a shit what the analytics say. And guess what? The analytics agree now. Because sometimes with a small sample size, you get a false positive, right? That's what you get. That's what I know about analytics now. So we are calling out the college football nerds to come on the show. Let's debate it. Let's talk about it. Bring all your stats. Bring all your fucking your textbooks, your backpack.
Bring the computer model.
Bring your pocket protector. Bring all that shit. Mm-hmm. And come on a real one. Look, because you don't get to just duck us and slip out the back door after making an audacious claim like that. You don't get to do that. So help us out, Menace Army. Tweet at College Football Nerds and tell them that Menace to Sports is requesting a cordial and calm discussion about Caleb Williams versus C.J. Stroud now that we have waited for the end of the year as they requested. Mm-hmm. We have met our end of the bargain. We stopped the conversation. We waited till the end of the year, and now here we are. We are ready for our meeting. We are ready for our postseason writing. Teach us, college football nerds. We waited, like you said. Now we would like to know why we needed to wait and why you think this Spencer Rattler and or Caleb Williams, you could put the two together, make a super quarterback, right? Take the best that Caleb does, the best that Spencer does, combine them, and then let's talk about C.J. Stroud versus your RoboCop, versus the Terminator. Come talk to us.
Yep. Hey. Get them on the show and run these numbers up, and we're going to give you guys merch soon. I mean, we're going on a revenge tour all off season, and whoever wants smoke that told us to wait and see or told us this and that, we're here and we're ready for it. We're not dodging anybody. We have some big Menace of Sports plans coming up here real soon, so stay tuned. Keep running up these shows. The more these get run up, the more cool stuff we can do. including, you know, getting the full merch out. We're going to relaunch some things. We have some cool video ideas coming up in the near future. So Manish Nation, this is going to be a fantastic offseason, we promise. We're going to try to make the wait as short as possible because obviously we got some big hopes and dreams for our Ohio State team next year. But starting with getting people on the show who are talking crazy, college football nerds. You weren't first because Marcus Williamson was first, but you're up now. Zach, anything else?
Well, I do want to talk about kind of what's been going on off the field. This is a little.
Oh, yes.
Ohio State's been in a postseason now for 10 days. I know the season officially ended yesterday, but Ohio State has been in a postseason and it's an ever-changing landscape of college football. And I want to just bring to light something that I've been talking about. And again, this is going to be like Justin Fry. I've been talking about this for, I don't know, a year. It's a major problem at Ohio State. And right now, what Brian Schottenstein, we already discussed it. What Brian Schottenstein and Cardale Jones are doing, they're trying to keep up with the Joneses, right? They're trying to compete with the Georgias, Texas A&Ms, Alabamas. They're trying to fight to keep Ohio State in that upper echelon of college football. And there's one man. I mean, I just talked to a couple boosters that about this situation. There's one man that is holding them back, and his name is Doug Archie. And Ohio State fans, boosters, Buckeye Nation, you need to not settle for this because he has been. Now, here's the interesting thing, and this is where Brian Schottenstein's brilliant, right? Doug Archie's had a very, very stern stance on this. We will not be doing this at Ohio State, the slush fund, the getting kids NIL deals, even though it is 100% legal and everyone else is doing it. And I don't know about you, Chris, but how I was raised, right? If one of your own is trying to hold you back from succeeding or growing or moving forward. If one of your own is directly impacting in a negative way, hurting your organization, that is called a homegrown terrorist. I mean, that is someone that should be thrown in prison and locked up, right? Because he is literally directly hurting Ohio State and he's getting paid by them because there's nothing illegal about what Brian Schottenstein is trying to do. There's nothing. The NCAA says it's okay. You're allowed to do it. Ohio State can afford it. Boosters can afford it. I've said it 100 times. Get 1 million people to donate $100 a year. That is $100 million that you have in a slush fund, bigger than anyone in the country. You can't convince me that you can't find Ohio State people to do that. I would donate $100 right now. And I don't even fucking, I mean, and I'm not an Ohio State fan. I'm just loyal to people, right? It's just absurd.
He's like an ankle weight, man. Like we're playing this game with ankle weights and a chest weight, and that is Doug Archie. Like he is an op, straight up.
Yeah, he's a bitch, and I know I throw that term around quite loosely, but we live in a society with lots of bitches. I don't know what else to say. I hold that word with high regard. I mean, you have to be a real bitch for me to call you a bitch. But there's just lots of boy. Here's where Brian Schottenstein's brilliant, right? Because Doug Archie had this firm stance that like he will revoke tickets. You will not be allowed to participate in Ohio State athletics if you're involved in something like this. And Brian Schottenstein said, you know what? We need to do this. So I'm going to do it. And guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to bring Cardale Jones on. He's going to do it with me. Let's see you flex on Cardale, Doug. Are you really going to flex on Cardale Jones? I mean, Cardale Jones is a huge name in Columbus and Buckeye Nation now. Won a national championship. He has over 1 million followers on Twitter. Are you really going to get into a dick measuring contest with Cardale Jones? Because you have small dick energy. Cardale Jones has like that meme.
Like dragging nuts on the table.
I mean, I'm talking about like huge dick energy. So you really want to go toe-to-toe with Cardale. So brilliant by Schottenstein to bring Cardale into it. Because now it's like, okay, let's call your bluff. You're going to take away tickets and not allow
anyone that Cardale does this? The game? Yeah, you're not going to let Cardale
Cardale's
the game?
Not allowed to come to a Buckeye game? Who says? Doug Archie? He didn't even have a ticket. He'll walk up and the usher will let him right in and probably take him up to a luxury box. He'll probably walk
out of the
in.
Field, right?
I can just envision it now. Doug Archie disallows Cardale and Schottenstein and whoever else is involved, right? Disallows them to come to games. Cardale just walks right in the stadium, goes right up to Gene Smith's booth, walks right in, walks over to fucking Doug Archie and takes his olives off his plate and starts eating them.
Yeah.
Because what is Doug Archie's bitch ass going to do about it? Not a damn thing. So Buckeye Nation, if you want to know who's really, pulling on this train in the opposite direction and trying to stifle forward progress, it is Doug Archie in the compliance department. It is. And it has been for years. But what he's doing right now and the pushback against Brian Schottenstein and Cardale Jones is just absurd. It's wrong. And it's hurting Ohio State. Let's just put it that way. It is. Think about this now. It is 100% legal what they are trying to do. And Doug Archie is trying to penalize them and tell them, no, they cannot do that.
We're being handicapped while we're trying to catch Alabama. Like that is so dangerous.
But here's now, the Georgia, problem. Excuse me. Here's the problem. Never mind. That's fucked up, man. Mm-hmm. You don't know how hard it is to operate at the level that Alabama operates with no restrictions, with no pushback, with nobody holding on your coattail trying to stop you. You don't know how hard it is if you have everyone aligned and pushing towards the same goal. It's still really hard. Now you add that into it. It's like going into a fist fight with Mike Tyson, but someone has taped your right hand behind your back and you're a righty. It's like, okay, what the fuck do you want me to do?
I'm just going to try to not die. And taking the gloves off Mike Tyson.
Right. It's absurd, and I thought it needed discussed. So again, shout out Brian Schottenstein, shout out Cardale, brilliant move bringing Cardale on board, and honestly, big balls from Brian Schottenstein to say, you know what, I don't really give a shit. Tell me I can't come to the Ohio State basketball game. I don't give a fuck. I'm trying to help Ohio State football, and I want to be the name that's out there doing it. And so he pushed forward and just launched it. And so excited to see how that grows and where that goes. But I wanted to bring that up. Also, getting back to what you mentioned, plans for Menace to Sports. So we are relaunching our YouTube channel. I'm not relaunching. It never went away. It just I had a bunch of studio issues and time constraint issues with as busy as we got in season. But we are getting more efficient. Obviously, Chris is on board now. We have a couple other people that we brought on board. So we're more efficient. We got more manpower. And so we are relaunching the YouTube channel. So if you haven't yet, go subscribe, youtube.com/Menace2Sports. Make sure you subscribe and get ready for that video content coming soon. Also, like Chris said, our website is going to be revamped here in the next month with a full on merch store. And we will, if you haven't caught our humor, we will have some funny shit on there for you if you're interested. And then Zone 6 is in full effect. The Zone 6 platform. I just had a Zoom meeting yesterday about the website. I've been trying to wait for the website. I don't think I'm going to wait for the website. I'm going to launch both sides of it. We've already launched the charity, the fund, the Zone 6 fund. That's in full effect. We're working through that right now, but we're going to launch the Zone 6 development side of it. It's athlete development. It's honestly, here's what it is, Chris. I have an 11-year-old. He's almost 12. He'll be 12 in about 20 days. A 12-year-old son. And obviously I can coach him in football, any position. I'm good. I don't need any help. But when it comes to baseball, I'm not an expert, and I don't believe in teaching my kids something if I'm not an expert. I'll go find an expert to teach him, right? And then I'll learn through the process so I can be a better coach dad to my kid. And so there's a tool out there called Driveline Baseball that actually one of Ohio State's baseball coaches told me about when I talked to him. I reached out about, just coaching my kid's travel team. And it's called Driveline Baseball. It's like $200. You sign up, and it's elite level teaching. Is what it is, right? There's videos, there's tools, there's all these things you can do, and you can sit there and study it from experts, not from some fucking local guy that played at Capitol and thinks he can teach you how to hit a ball. No. These are very, very high level baseball coaches. And so I'm sitting there like, well, all right, what if I want my kid to be good at football? Where do I go? And I have no idea. I mean, there's local coaches, right? That might help a little bit, but I'm talking about experts. I want an expert. I want Brian Hartline to tell me what to tell my kid, right? And so that's what Zone 6 is going to be. We're going to launch the platform. It's going to be teaching tools, drill videos, me explaining everything and every fine detail so that you as a dad, or if you're a high school kid, you can listen and learn from somebody that has coached at a very, very high level, not some local guy that takes you in a park and does footwork drills. I'm talking elite level football skill training. And so that's what it's going
to
be.
Translates to the field.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think there needs to be that information. It's going to be cheap. I'm not trying to gouge people for, you know, what they probably should pay for that level of teaching. I'm excited about it. We're going to launch a subscription service. It's going to be interactive, and then we'll launch an e-course where you can really just get the whole package. And that's coming. It's already, I'd say about halfway done with the e-course. I'm going to launch the subscription model here soon because I have plenty of content to start rolling that out. So Zone 6 is in full effect, and that will be our third pillar to this menace to sports company that is really exploding and expanding, all thanks to you. So I appreciate everybody for listening. Appreciate it. And again, we're not stopping the push now. The goal is top 50. So go give us a 5-star review if you haven't already, or give us another one and drop a question for the mailbag. We want to have a great mailbag on Friday. Drop a question. We will get to it, Chris and I, Friday morning on the morning show. We appreciate everybody for listening, and menace out, Chris.
Menace out.